be looking for a poll that's now going to be going out if we should call Brian Bishop Brian or Pastor Perry. We'll have to get a consensus on that. But no, it's so good to be here this morning. So thankful for each and every one of you. And as we said earlier, it is certainly a good day that we here at Eastview get to add another shepherd to our leadership. And we're so thankful for that. We have been spending our time the last couple weeks looking at the idea of understanding elders, better understanding their responsibility, better understanding what it is they do in leading us. And as I said last week, today we want to turn that attention in our last lesson looking at this, and today we want to look at understanding elders as sheep, as members of this congregation. As we follow our eldership, we want to see what it is that is our responsibility. You know, many times we hear, especially today, that sheep are weak and we don't need to be sheep. We need to be strong. Quite the contrary. When you look at God's Word, this is exactly who we are. We are sheep and our elders are the shepherds. And so if we look at this, that's the very first point I want to make. If they are shepherds, then we indeed are sheep. We are the flock that they are leading. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we see that Peter gives instruction there, and we looked at this verse last week as well. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, Peter says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Now, if they are elders, what does that mean? What constitutes a flock? Does becoming an elder mean that they join a nationwide panel of shepherds and where they oversee the workings of all the congregations everywhere? Obviously, the answer is no. Elders only oversee the group in which they worship with. Jeff has no say what happens at the church down in Pekin. Evan has no say what happens at the church at Smedley. Brian has no say over what happens over at Westside. They are shepherds of this flock. They are shepherds of this congregation. And all the passages that we've looked at, when we look at what an elder is and their responsibilities, it all points to the idea that they are shepherds of a local church, a local congregation. And so that leads me to say this. Knowing that they are elders of a local church, it points to the essence and the importance of membership. Placing membership in a local church is more than just getting your name in our directory. It's more than having your name and your picture put on the directory page on the website. Honestly, for most of us, we probably don't even want our picture on there because we don't look very good. I mean, you have to look at this face all the time. But it's more than just having our name in the directory. Membership is about letting it be known you not only wish to worship and work with the congregation, but placing membership also means that you are letting it be known that you will be under the oversight of the shepherds. And you can see how if you were a shepherd, hearing from God's word that you are to oversee the flock of which you worship with, and the flock of which you will give an account of, you'd want to know exactly who was in that flock. Shepherds know their sheep. And they want to know who is the flock they're watching over. And so it's important that we consider the first part of this. If we are going to be sheep, we need to be members of the flock. And so it applies to being a member of the Lord's church. But not only that, but also the second thing I'd point out is that sheep need to know the shepherds. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where our reading came from this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verses 12 and 13, again, that text says this. It says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. When we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see that word respect. That word respect in other places is translated as to know. To know our shepherds. We need as a flock to know who our shepherds are. And let me tell you, this is more than just saying, well, I know Jeff is a shepherd, and Evan's a shepherd, and Fred's a shepherd, and Brian's now a shepherd. It's not being able to just pick them out of a lineup. Knowing our shepherds means knowing who they are. Knowing their character. Knowing what they stand for. Knowing the kind of person they are. It's more than just saying, well, yeah, these are our shepherds. I don't know anything about them, but that's who they are. It's saying, I know who my shepherds are. And the reason why this is so important is because when we come into points in our life, when we need comfort, when we need that guidance, we need that insight, we need to know who our elders are and where they're coming from so that we can trust that advice. We can trust that wisdom. You know, I think we've somehow got off track over the years, and we think it's the elders' job to know us. The expectation is that the elders do all the work, and they need to go around and they need to visit with all of us individually, and so that they can know who I am. Well, sure, they need to do that to a point. But this isn't a one-sided operation. This isn't the elders do all the work and we sit back and wait for them to come to us. We need to go to our elders. We need to know who they are. Know our elders. In the same token, we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12. And now we look at that word respect. As sheep, we need to respect our shepherd. As Brian made his comments just a little while ago, he talked about this work and how serious of a work it is. As sheep, we need to appreciate what they do for us. The hours, the time, the energy they put into leading us. You know, I think about this example. If you were to go under and have surgery, there would be someone who would constantly providing medical assessment on the patient. They monitor and control the patient's vital life functions. They watch the blood pressure. They watch the oxygen levels. They watch over all of that. They watch the heart. They watch the breathing. They want to make sure that while you are under surgery, that you are safe. Essentially, that's what the shepherds are striving to do for us spiritually. They're watching us and helping us make sure that we are living righteously, that we are doing what God expects us to do. The amount of time and energy that goes into their work often goes unnoticed. And therefore, we need to imitate their faith. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 says this. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7, he says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Their character. Their character that God wants them to have to serve are characteristics that we are all to be striving to follow as Christians. Paul told the church at Corinth to imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's exactly what we need to be doing with our elders, as they imitate the characteristics and the qualities of who God would have them to be, as they serve to be Christ-like. We need to be following that example. And then verse 13, we come back to verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, we see this responsibility we have in respecting our elders. And in verse number 13, it says, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And that last phrase, be at peace among yourselves. Esteeming them highly, the elders highly, respecting them, looking to them as shepherds, it produces peace among the flock. Because let me tell you this, if we understand their responsibility and their role, and we understand our responsibility and our role, we can be at peace with one another. Because let me tell you this, nothing breeds division more than brethren who are constantly criticizing the eldership. Nothing breeds division more than people who are constantly looking to find fault in the eldership. If we look long and hard enough, can we find something that maybe they need to work on a little bit better? Sure. They're human like all of us. But if I am constantly looking at how can I destroy the eldership, or how can I put down the eldership, how can I make their life difficult, we're not going to be at peace with one another. And so if I'm going to respect the elders, then I need to make sure that I am looking at being one at peace. And not one who's trying to sow discord. And one who's trying to bring division in the Lord's church. But not only do we see that we need to respect the shepherds, but perhaps the most important point that I'll make this morning is that we as sheep need to allow the shepherds to lead spiritually. Back in the book of Hebrews, we looked at verse 7 just a little bit ago. Now we jump down to verse number 17, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 13. And notice what said with the wrong, oh, going the wrong way. Look at what said in verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. There the Bible tells us this. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Well, we see this passage could also tie back to our point about respecting our elders and respecting them, letting their job be a joy. But here's what we need to understand. Their job is to lead. Our job is to follow. That word submit means that we resist no longer. We need to understand that obedience and submission, they're not exactly the same thing. I think we've been raised in participate in this country where we have a democratic culture. And with that, we get a voice in everything. There's an election that comes up. What do we get to do? We get a vote. We get a say in who our leaders are going to be. When we think about committees, we think about social media, everyone has an opinion on everything and we all get to share our thoughts. In the church, the elders lead and we follow. Now, does this mean that we never get to talk to the elders? The elders are held up here and we need to bow before them to come and talk to them? Absolutely not. This doesn't mean the elders aren't approachable. They certainly should be, having the character as Christians. And we need to go to them and we need to talk to them. If we have concerns, if we have doubts, if we have questions, we go and we talk to the elders. But as long as the elders are leading scripturally, as long as the elders are leading according to God's word, our job is to follow. Now, if our elders start saying, we're going to do things differently, we're not going to follow the teaching of Christ, we're not going to follow God's word any longer, do we need to stand up and follow God's word? Absolutely. But as long as our elders are leading and they're leading according to God's word, we need to follow. And that leads us to 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, as Paul gives instruction to Timothy, he says there in verse number 17, he says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. We talked a little bit about what this double honor means, about if they are are serving, that they should be compensated for that if they're laboring and teaching as well. And we know of elders who serve as evangelists and preachers as well. But I want us to focus in here on this phrase, let those who rule well. Ruling well depends on us having the right hearts and the right attitudes to allow them to rule well. Back in Hebrews 13, verse 17, that passage we just looked at, it says, let them do this with joy. Let them serve with joy. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to do our part as members of this body, as members of this flock, to make their jobs joyful and make their jobs as easy as possible. Does that mean we're never going to have difficulties and we're never going to go through tough seasons of life? That's not what that's saying. We're going to have difficulties. There's times we're going to need to lean on our eldership. But if I am being the Christian that I'm supposed to be, and I'm striving to do what God called me to do as a Christian, their job becomes a little easier. Why? Because they don't have to go put out the fires. They don't have to hunt me down to say, hey, you're acting a fool, straighten up. They don't have to do that. If I'm doing what I should be doing as Christians, then I am making their job a little bit easier. And if we all do what we should do as Christians, then their job becomes a little bit easier even more. We need to make sure that we let them do their job well, that we let them do their job with joy. In John chapter 10, we read about the good shepherd. And we read about Jesus, and we see this relationship that Jesus being the shepherd and we being the sheep. When we look at this passage, I believe that the same principle applies to the shepherd-sheep relationship in the church. We need to let them follow. We need to let them be the example, and we need to follow their rule. Their job is to lead us spiritually. And therefore, we need to do that. And one more passage I'll throw in this conversation here about letting them rule is James chapter 5. If you go with me to James chapter 5 and notice what's said beginning in verse number 13. In James chapter 5, beginning in verse number 13, we find here that James says this. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. When we look at James chapter 5, there is much debate of whether or not James chapter 5, especially here in verses 13 through 15, if this is talking about a physical sickness or a spiritual sickness. We don't have time to talk about that debate today. We'll save that debate for another time. But I want you to understand there's a principle here that applies either way. And do you know what that phrase is? If anyone among you sick, let them call for the elders. Remember earlier we talked about knowing who our elders are. And sometimes we've got this false idea that it's the elders' job to know everything about us and it's not our job to know them. James specifically says, call for the elders. He doesn't say call the evangelist. He doesn't say sit around and wait for them to chase you down, for the elders to chase you down. He says, call the elders. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, the elders cannot read your minds. They can't read my mind. We can't read each other's minds. The elders will not know that there are issues and there are things going on unless we tell them about it. Or unless it gets bad enough that it becomes an issue. We need to make sure that we are doing our part to call for the eldership. I understand, and I think the elders here understand as well to a point, that this might be a little more difficult because it's not always the elder's face that you see in front of you week in and week out. Many times it's this handsome face that you get to look at. But when we do that, sometimes that means that the evangelist kind of becomes looked at as the leader. And many times the evangelist, the preacher, begins to take a lot of that burden, that weight. And to a point, it is my job, my role to teach, to study with, to encourage, to exhort, to rebuke, to admonish, and to counsel and things pertaining to God's Word. But you need to understand, and our elders understand this, I do not have oversight over your soul. The elders do. I have no problem saying that I lack the experience, that I lack the wisdom, or I lack the characteristics that our shepherds have that are needed to truly help and to lead. And so that being the case, we need to allow our shepherds to lead us spiritually. We need to lean on them and look to them. That is their job as leaders in the church, allowing them to lead spiritually. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning kind of looks at another side of our responsibility. And that is this. As members of this flock, we have to be able to reprove our elders if they sin. Being an elder does not mean that man is perfect. I was joking with Brian before this morning, and I think I might have, even Wednesday night, I said, now when we get up to make this announcement that you're going to become an elder, you need to go up there and say, I want to thank you for this award. I've worked really hard to get here. And just joking around with him. But obviously Brian didn't do that. In fact, he did exactly what you would expect an elder to do. He approached it humbly. He approached it not to say, check out me, look at how good I am. He said, pray for me. Pray for me because I'm not a perfect individual. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Exactly what Brian said just a little bit ago. These qualities that we look at here in 1 Timothy and Titus chapter 1, these qualities do not say the elder is perfect and will never sin. Therefore, we need to remember, if they do, we have a responsibility. But also, let me point out that being an elder, or being sheep rather, showing respect, listening to our elders does not mean they cannot be corrected. Again, our elders are human. They are human just as much as I am and you are. And they will probably at some point make a mistake. And therefore, we will have a responsibility to reprove them if they sin. And so how do we go about doing this? How do we go about correcting them if they do? I'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 with me for just a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 19, there the Bible says this. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 19, it says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Verse 20, as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. When do we, in verse 20, when do we rebuke them in the presence of all? Verse 19 says, don't bring any accusation except for the two or three witnesses. So when does this occur? Well, let me remind you of the principles of Matthew chapter 18 and verses 15 through 20. In Matthew chapter 18, it says, if your brother sins against you, what are you to do? It says you're to go to them and talk to them one on one. And if they don't listen to you, then you take back one or two more that every word may be established. And then it says if they don't listen to that, then you take it to the church. And so, when does this take place? Well, remember, they're human, just like we are. They are brothers in Christ. I about said sisters. That would have been really bad. Our elders are brothers in Christ. And therefore, if they sin, and it's against us, we still go talk to them. And if they don't listen, we take one or two. And if they don't listen, now what do? If they persist in sin, as James, as 1 Timothy says in verse 20, then we let it be known. We reprove them openly. We only make a charge after we confront them and they are unwilling to repent. Yes, they are an elder, but they are also a brother in Christ. And just because they are an elder doesn't mean we ignore other parts of Scripture. In fact, as we see in Galatians chapter 2, in Galatians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14, we see that Paul rebukes someone because he did wrong. You remember who he rebuked in Galatians chapter 2? Peter. Who was Peter? In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read that Peter was a fellow elder. Just because they are an elder does not mean that we ignore other parts of Scripture. But let me also then point this out. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, He gives this instruction. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your own eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." As we pointed out earlier, our job is to respect our elders, and our job is to make their job a little easier. It is no doubt that it's very easy to hold others to a higher standard than what we hold ourselves to. It is no doubt that it's easier to put a stricter judgment on someone who is in a place of leadership. You ever worked a job and you had a boss you didn't care for? It's easier to put a stricter judgment on them, isn't it? You think about our government officials and the jobs that they do. It's easier to criticize. Sometimes it's fair criticism, but it's easy to criticize them. It's easy to offer unfair criticism and standards to our eldership. It's easy to put a stricter judgment on them. And to a point, I can see this. I understand that our eldership, they will have to give an account before God for the job that they do. And there is a stricter judgment that they will have to follow and that they will have to answer for. But that doesn't mean we ignore what Matthew chapter 7 says. As sheep, we reprove them when they sin. But don't be looking for reasons to cast judgment against them. Don't make it your sole job to disassemble the eldership because you don't like one of them. Don't make it your job to disassemble the eldership because one of them talked to you a way that you didn't like or they upset your or hurt your feelings. Before you go cast judgment, remove the log out of your own eye. As a responsibility that we have as sheep of this congregation, we need to reprove them if they sin. The shepherds have a role within the local church. But as you can see, as we looked at this morning, we as well have a responsibility in the local church. And our responsibility, as we looked at, is to let our elders lead. And we follow that example. I pray that we examine our own selves. And I pray that we examine where we stand as sheep of this flock. And allowing our elders to lead us in the work that they do. Again, this morning, we've not talked about what we must do to be saved. But it is important, before we close, that we extend the Lord's invitation. So if you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, we use this time now to extend that invitation. The invitation for you to come, to be added to the body of Christ, to have your sins washed away, so that you can begin this day faithfully serving God. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, understand you are not in a safe place. And understand a sinner's prayer doesn't get you saved. Calling on the name of the Lord verbally alone does not get you saved. In fact, when you look in Scripture, calling on the name of the Lord is symbolized by being baptized for remission of your sins. Salvation doesn't come before, it doesn't come after. Salvation comes when you come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, when you are baptized for remission of your sins. If you're here this morning and you've not done that, why do you delay? What is it that you are waiting for? We're here to help you become a member of the body of Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you've done that, but you've not been faithful. You've sinned against God. You've not been the Christian that you should be. And because of that, you've brought shame and reproof upon the church. Why not repent of that? Begin anew today, living faithfully all the days of your life. Repent of those things. The Bible says God is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins. Will you repent this morning? Will you serve God? Can we help you this morning according to the gospel? If so, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.